So tonight I'm going to encourage us on listen and obey is how I've titled the message tonight. And I say the message, but literally it's just a couple of scriptures I will exhort you on, and then we pray together. Because the key purpose for coming here tonight is to pray corporately. Let's go to Hebrews 5 in the Passion Translation. Hebrews 5, 7 to 9. I know you have masses on me because sometimes I'm thinking they are so far, so let me shout. I forget that I have the microphone. I forget that I have the microphone and I've been thinking. Just learn the etiquette of using the microphones. So bear with me when I act funny. So Hebrews 5, verse 7 in the Passion Translation, it says that during Christ's days on earth, he pleaded with God, praying with passion and with tearful agony that God would spare him from death. And because of his perfect devotion, his prayer was answered and he was delivered. So we see Jesus himself had to pray to receive his deliverance, even though he was the Son of God. But remember, he was operating on earth as a son of man. So he had to do what heaven demands for him to walk in the deliverance that he needed. Then the scripture continues to say, but even though he was a wonderful son, he learned to listen and obey. That's where I got the title of tonight's message, that Jesus learned to listen and obey. Through all his sufferings and after being proven perfect, so I would say that he was proven perfect of listening and obeying. That was the criteria. So, and after being proven perfect in this way, he has now become the source of eternal salvation to all those who listen to him and obey. So we are called Christians because we are followers of Christ. And the way he role modeled Christianity is that he listened and he obeyed. So then I won't be wrong to say that answers are found in hearing and obeying. That's where we find our answers for life. They are found in listening or hearing and obeying, okay? And I'll say this is my opinion, so don't ask me where is the survey data, all right? It's not survey data, but when I say it's my opinion, I'm just trying to interpret the word. I'm not bringing my personal opinion, but I wanted to make that disclaimer so that you don't tell me which data, which reference, which professor, which theology college. Don't ask me all those questions. So then I will say that most people don't bother to tarry in order to hear. T-A-R-R-Y is to wait in the presence of the Lord. Remember, Jesus learned to listen and obey. Nobody can hear unless you listen. Okay? So most people don't bother to listen, literally. And therefore, they don't even know what they can obey. Some people hear, but they question what they hear. They do hear, but they question what they had. If I could parallel that to what we spoke last week, we were talking about not reasoning. You've heard from God, don't reason. Don't take time to reason within yourself when you hear from God. So, but unfortunately, some people hear, but they question what they hear. So these two groups, I would say they live a life of chance, not a life of purpose. If you don't take time to listen, you will live by chance. If you don't take time If you don't believe what you hear, then you will not obey it, so you will also live by chance. Okay? Few people listen with an intent to hear and to obey. So there is a group, which is not many, that they take their time to wait in the presence of the Lord, which we call to tarry. So they tarry in the presence of the Lord because they are desiring to hear instructions. And because they sacrifice the inconvenience of tarrying, then when they do hear, they are very intentional to obey what they hear. Because remember, it took time for them to tarry. So they value what they hear. People who don't obey what they hear, they didn't value what they heard. Okay? So the few people listen with an intent to obey, and this group live a life of purpose. Those are the people who live a life of purpose. The other groups, they live by chance. But again, don't ask me for the data. I am interpreting the word of God in the way the Holy Spirit has helped me to understand it. But you remember, I still hang on the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 that says, verse 12, this is that we know in part. Okay? So there is more that we keep learning. And so even me, there is more I keep learning. So we know very well that Jesus spent time with the Father in order to hear the Father's words. You remember, if you read the scripture, the book of John, Matthew, Mark, it would keep talking about that Jesus went early to pray. Jesus prayed through the night. Jesus separated himself to go and pray. What was he doing? He was spending quality time with the Father in order to hear the Father's words. If you want to hear heaven's words, it calls for a separation. So there has to be a time that is dedicated for you and God. And that's why you can pray as a group, you can pray as a family, but even in that small family unit, you have to create time for you to be with God. Why? Because hearing is very personal. That's why Paul would say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He never spoke about a collective salvation. Salvation is very personal. So Jesus recognized this, and therefore, even though he was the Son of God, he knew on earth he needed to create time to spend quality time with the Father so that he can be able to hear. So he built up his spiritual life while in the flesh. He was in the flesh, but he needed to build his spiritual life. Even though he was the Son of God, if he came here and started walking with a twist and saying, I came from heaven, I'm the Son of God, you know, and doing his gist, you think he would have overcome? No. Why? Because he was here like a man. And so he needed to build his spiritual life through the word and prayer in order to draw from the reservoir of heaven to be able to go through the difficult times that he knew he was facing. Okay? This is what Hebrews 4:14 says. Let's read that Hebrews 4:14, please. So it says, okay, I just read it in the Passion, but maybe I read it in the AMPC, but let's read it. So then we must cling in faith to all we know to be true, for we have a magnificent King Priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who rose into the heavenly realm for us and now sympathizes with us in our frailty. Move on. He understands humanity. For as a man, our magnificent King Priest was tempted in every way just as we are and conquered sin. Let's read it in the Amplified Classic, please. So it says, okay, inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. So we can see here, because he operated on earth as a man, he went through every temptation you and I go through. He did. And the Bible says that he was able to overcome it. Why? Because he built his spiritual life by spending time with God and hearing what God would instruct him. So his victory was not in his DNA of heaven. His victory was in his obedience and hearing. So even though he was the Son of God, if he had walked on earth doing what he wants and disobeying what God told him, I'm not sure he would have been able to fulfill the call of paying the price to become our Savior. That's why he was very intentional to hear God and to do what God told him. So I can say Jesus never came up with a good plan. He followed God's plan. He never came up. If you read the book of John, he keeps saying that as I hear the Father say, so I say. As I see the Father do, so I do. He did not come up with a good plan. Was he capable of coming up with many good plans? Absolutely. He could have brought a zillion plans for everybody and say, you do this and I do this and we do this. But because he was obedient to the Father, he stuck with the plan of God. So he followed what he saw the Father do and what he had the Father say. So he demonstrated to us how to overcome. That's what he was doing. He was role modeling to us. This is how you win in life. Listen to the Father and do what you hear. So following God's plan then is easy. It's not difficult. Following God's plan is not easy. It's not difficult. It's easy. Why? Jesus himself said, my yoke is easy and it's light. It's not difficult. Following God's plan is not difficult. It's only when we bring our reasoning that we start complicating the following God's plan. The difficulty arises when we follow the plan we made. Every time you make your own plan, it counteracts the plan of God. So the key to success in life is always, always seek to hear God. What are you saying concerning this matter? What are you instructing me concerning this relationship? What is my place in this whole scenario? Because life presents many, many scenarios. So you are to be very keen to never move with what you think or what you know or how it has been done. One of the key statements that our pastors keep saying is, we are not doing church like any other church. That's not to say we are special. It's just to say we are doing church the way we hear God telling us to do. But you heard during the HLA presentation, Pastor Kala keeps telling us all the time, I don't want to do another school because there are so many other schools. I want to do the school that God told me to do, not what others are doing. So then it's the difficulties in life arise when we make our own plan. Because when you make your own plan, you have to resource it. You have to know how to run with it. You have to know how to fund it. You have to know where it will arrive you, okay? But Jesus never did that. He said, I only do what I hear the Father say, what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father say. Listen to Isaiah 40, verse 31. It's a scripture that we confess a lot. Most Christians, let me say most Christians, confess this scripture a lot, a lot, a lot. This is what it says. It says, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God, as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. There's a lot of substance in that scripture. It's talking about which people? Us who wait upon the Lord. So it says, those who wait upon the Lord, who expect, number one, they expect. Waiting on the Lord is not just standing there. Have you ever heard people say, "Tunamgoja Bwana"? So what are our things? We are waiting on the Lord. And while they are waiting, what are they doing? They don't know. If you ask them, others, there was another community I was associated with wherever I was, and every time you ask, how are they? Amata, or how are you? We thank God. How did it go? We thank God. Where are you? How are we? We thank God. And it's not bad to say we thank God, but it can become a cliche, because we thank God is good, but it doesn't tell whoever is querying you what you are answering. So you get tired and you're like, okay, keep thanking God. 3 years down the road, we thank God. So you know, you can't help such a person, because we thank God is kind of like, it's God. It's up to God. We are living matters with God. He's the one who knows, and that's it. But look at what the scripture is telling us. Those who wait for the Lord, this is what waiting is, who expect. So they are expectant. They are expectant. Who look for, and they hope. That's how you wait on the Lord, okay? If you're interested in increasing, this is my interpretation. If you're interested in increasing, you must be highly involved in the change process. There's a change process that those who wait upon the Lord, who expect, who look for, and hope in him, what does it say? Shall change. If you're waiting on the Lord, you can't stay mark timing for 4 years. I don't know if you're mark timing for 4 years, there's somebody else you're waiting for. It's not the Lord. Because look at what it says. Those who wait for the Lord, who expect, they look for, and they hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles. Let me dwell on the part A there. Those who wait upon the Lord, those who expect, look for, and hope for. And that's where I've said, if you're interested in increasing spiritually, we must be involved in the change process. It's not entirely on God. God is a partner with us. We are not dormant partners. We are active partners in the change process of our spirits. Okay? So, what is to expect? Why should we expect? If you remember in the prayer guide that we were using during the 21 days of fasting and prayer in January, one of the paragraphs, statements that Pastor Cara encouraged us, she said that if we do not expect the goodness of God, we grieve him. If we do not expect, if you're waiting on God but you're not expecting, you grieve him. Why? Because God has already released your blessings. So that change process and the renewal is what will push you towards accessing the promises that God has already released to us. According to Ephesians 1:3, it says that he has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. So they are available for our access. So that's why I have to expect what God has already released for me. So you got to look for, so you got to look for what you want. That's what you expect is. What I want, I have to look for it. I'm not looking for it in the natural realm, but I'm digging it in the spiritual realm by my participation of the word and prayer. That's what tarrying is. Tarrying is I'm expectant, and therefore I will wait to hear your instruction for what I want. Okay? So you have to look for it. If you don't look for it, then I said you remain at the same place, even though it's available for you, because you are not showing any expectation. It's there, you are here, and it looks like there is 100 years in between. So the acceleration of the appropriation of the promises of God is how I'm involved in it. What am I doing? What is my waiting? Is I'm expectant and I'm looking for it, okay? So then why are we supposed to engage in that process? Because it's a process of faith. The promises of God are apprehended through faith. And therefore, I would say there is no risk tied to faith. There's no risk tied to faith. Faith is a guarantee. If not so, then God will be unfair to tell me that I have released all this for you, but you cannot access until I say. If he has released, he has released. So me building up my faith to be able to apprehend it, I'm not risking my life. So there is no risk tied to faith. So developing my faith to my spiritual life to access the promises of God is a guarantee. Why is it a guarantee? Because faith is based on the truth of the word of God. The word of God never lies. So there is no way I can fail if I am renewing my faith building my spirit. I'm allowing my life to change so that I can apprehend what faith has for me. Okay? So there's no faith in risk because it's the truth. So then my encouragement to us is that we must engage faith. We must engage faith in what we want. We cannot be following good ideas. Good ideas are good, but they are not the ultimate. Why? Because we are aiming to reach the ultimate. The ultimate of the blessing of God and the promises of God can only be reached through faith. So we have to engage our faith and to be renewed, to allow the Holy Spirit to change us, the word to change us, in waiting for God, in prayer and worship. Your heart is transformed, okay? So then I will say spiritual renewal gives a modified version of you. If you are going through that change process, you can't come out the same as when you entered, isn't it? That's what it calls growth. It's a growth process. So we see spiritual renewal gives a modified version of you. Why? Because renewal clothes you with the grace to overcome and win. That's what we are looking for. We are not just looking to change for the sake of changing. We are looking to change so that we are graced with the power to overcome and to win this life that we are in. Okay? So how does this happen? What is the change? What is the evidence of your renewal? What? How can we tell that you have been changing? How can we tell that you are in the process of building your life? Okay? We see it. Your mind stays in divine order. Somebody whose spirit is being renewed, their mind is very orderly. There is divine order. So they stay in divine peace. If you find yourself in a lot of confusion, please go and tarry and ask the Lord. And ask the Lord, please transform me. It cannot be the plan of God for a Christian to be in confusion, literally. Of course, there are attacks, but this is the thing. That's why this renewal process is an ongoing process. Nobody has arrived, so you can't reach a place you say, those issues are behind me. It's a continuous process of change. Why? Because there is a journey we are walking. We are running through. So you need your mind stays in divine order if you're going through the process of change. Your body stays in divine health. Why? Because you are equipped with the weapons to wage warfare. And you don't only know that you are healed by his stripes, but you are activating that process continually. You're speaking it, you're praying it, you're attacking it, you're demolishing it, you're doing what you need to know. You're collaborating with the voice of God to push away the attacks of the kingdom of darkness. Mm-hmm. Right? So your body stays in divine health because you are so alert in the spiritual realm. When the enemy tries to attack, you wage warfare deliberately. But why? Because you have gotten used to tarrying before the Lord. So it's easy for you to run there and to wage your warfare because you have an easy entry out of practice. Okay? Okay? So then, if your spirit is renewed and you have the grace to overcome, you have confidence of who you are as a born again Christian. You have confidence. So nobody or no circumstance puts you under pressure. People who have their minds renewed, they are not following their peers wherever their peers want to take them. They don't go with the masses. They only follow the masses if Jesus says this mass is going to where I've sent it. But you're not just following masses because there's a group of men that are shouting or a group of ladies that are ululating. You understand? You know your place, you know your space, you know who you are. Nobody is putting pressure on you. Why? Because you have acquired faith. And faith has its own pace. When your mind is renewed, you get to understand what is faith. And faith has its own pace. It's not pushed. It's not jostled. It's not, I don't know how to explain it, but I hope you're getting it. Faith has its own pace. Faith, which is the pace of faith? Hearing. If you haven't heard God, you have no business going where people are going. Literally, you don't have. I'm not saying don't come to church. You know, when you come to church, you get faith. Okay? Don't go into the ditch of saying, people are going to church. My pace of faith is not that one. That's not what I'm saying. But you understand what I'm saying. So you have a spiritual confidence. You're contented. Remember what the scripture says. I think it's the Hebrews 13, maybe 13 or 12. It says that godliness with contentment is great gain. What does that mean? You are not pushed around, you're not messed around, you're not following everybody. You are contented in the faith of God because you know the outcome of this process of faith that I'm engaged in, it will bring me out so far from that other process where everybody else is following. Okay? So you understand that the faith has its own pace, and its pace is the pace of the word and prayer. So instead of just following, go back to the word and go back to prayer and say, I hear all business people are making so much money by going to Hong Kong. Just go and ask the Lord. Just don't book your ticket to Hong Kong. Or you say, oh, I hear Canada, they're inviting all the Africans. There are so many jobs in Canada. Told you who? Told you who? Just look for another documentary in the same internet and see. People are saying people are leaving Canada. But the one that told you, people are going to Canada. So you can't be found in that exchange of chance and lose patapotea. You understand? So yours is the pace of the word and prayer. I've heard the word, I'm praying about it, I will manifest it by prayer and waiting on the Lord, okay? So, and therefore, it's not the pace of education, and then everybody has to have 2 degrees, 3 degrees, and a doctorate. I know of a community, they never stop acquiring degrees. It's not in Kenya. So don't think of a community in Kenya. Those people read. I got this and this and masters. And I knew one individual. At one particular time, he was doing three master's degrees. He was doing an accounting degree, a finance degree. He was already an engineer. High-level engineer. But now, because he wanted to rise to the director level in that organization, big company in France, he was doing a master's in finance. He was doing a master's in marketing. And he was doing a master's, I can't remember the other one. And I'm thinking, dude, do you even have a life? Literally. His life was sold to, you know, those academics and learning and degrees. And I'm thinking, I can't even catch the French language, but I'm so happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. What am I? I'm not saying don't study. You understand, guys? I'm just saying, look for your pace. Don't run the pace of everybody. Jesus did not say man shall live by 10 degrees. He said man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Okay? So you have to be, if you are confident, then you don't feel intimidated by whoever gets what they get. You celebrate what they get, if that is the path God wants for them. But if it's not your path, let it not bother you too much, okay? Yeah, you're not intimidated by your family. Everybody is driving that car. They have a car for their wife, they have a car for their husband, and they have a car for the driver to take children to school, and you're walking. So what? So what? Yeah, that's not a mark of prosperity. It isn't. They have some comfort, but probably you are better than them. If you look at in the context of heavenly perspective, you probably better than them. That's not to say don't aim for it. You understand? But it shouldn't. Some people get jobs out of godfathers. Do you want to play godfather role? You know, understand? Or you know you have to bootleg the godfather so that you get the best job and the best promotion. Don't be intimidated by the economic climate of the beautiful country called Kenya. I still insist, this is the most beautiful country. I ain't moving from here because I know how beautiful the country is. It is. Why? Why would God place us here? And God says that he is the one who determines our boundaries and the place of our abode. I think it's in Acts 26 or 17:26 there. He knew what he was doing. So while we are here, okay, if he wants to send you away, don't say, no, I like Kenya. Listen, follow your pace, okay? But while you're in Kenya, please love Kenya. Let not the economic condition intimidate you. I can guarantee you, 50 years ago, when I started working, there was still a problem. There was still unemployment. 50 years ago, there was still unemployment. There were people who could not get jobs. So the fact that there is high unemployment has nothing to do with your portion. The promises of God, your portion, nobody can tunya you. Nobody. Nobody can take your portion. It is marked. Read, I think it's Psalm 16. It says that the line have fallen in pleasant places for me, and my cup overflows. It did not say when I moved to America. It said my cup overflows because I am tarrying in the presence of the Lord. You understand? So don't be intimidated by who is moving, who is coming, how the economy, how the dollar, how the pound. They mean nothing. They really mean nothing. Where is our source? The word of God. And the word of God is unchangeless, okay? So I'm saying that to say that even in good economies, people are still suffering. Do you not know that? In good economies. I know you watch social media, stop acting. You know that in good economies, people ask you, go and look, watch videos in YouTube about homelessness in California. California is where all the actors and the actresses live. Yeah, Beverly Hills, they have the mansions of people. There is massive homelessness. So it's not the economy, it's who you know. It's the God you know. It's how you hear him, and it's how you obey what you hear. You understand? Okay? So we have to get our perspective right. Our perspective about life has to be right. It's heavenly perspective. It's not earthly perspective. Okay? Faith knows what God has already done, and it confidently expects it to manifest anytime. What is any time? I don't know. I don't know what is any time, and I don't care what is any time. What have I been told? Wait upon the Lord. So what will I do? I will wait upon the Lord. When your faith is active, the passing of time does not shake you. Okay? Yeah. If anybody is pressing you about time, tell them, I am a woman of faith and I am a man of faith. Whatever the Lord has apportioned me, I am holding on to. Until I leave this world. The Bible says, even those who went ahead of us went believing. They never let go of faith. Faith is not a risk. Let me repeat again. It's not a risk. It's an assured process. Okay, so the passing of time does not shake us because it really means nothing, passing of time. It doesn't mean much. It just means that God is so much in control. He's still holding me even before the manifestation comes through. Listen to Hebrews 4:3. Hebrews 4:3. Let's read it in the Passion Translation, please. Hebrews 4:3. We'll come back to that scripture, but let's read Hebrews 4:3 so that we stop being pressured by the world and the economies of the world. Hebrews 4:3 says, for those of us who believe, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident rest. Who are those? Those of us who do what? Who believe. Those of us who believe, faith is what activates the promise of God, and we experience the realm of confident rest. Rest in what? On the promises of God, not rest on the economy of Kenya. It's not rest on the ruling government. It's not rest on what will happen in 2027. Our hope is not on what is coming. Our hope is what the word says. The promises of God, that's where our hope is. Listen to this. For he has said, I was grieved with them and made a solemn oath. They will never enter into the calming rest of my spirit. God's works have all been completed from the foundation of the world. What's your problem? That you are waiting for the right government to come in place for your life to change. The Bible there says God's works have all been completed from the foundation of the earth. So your portion is already in motion. It's in place, waiting. What is it waiting for? For your faith. It's waiting for your faith. Okay? But why? That's what it says there, the beginning, the part A of that. It says, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident rest. God has completed and prepared what you need. It's waiting for our faith obedience. Once my faith obedience is complete, the manifestation happens. So stop looking for external help and look from inside you. Your help is not out there. It's not external. It's your help is not. People will love you. People will help you. People will carry you. We people will visit you, but they will not complete your life. Every help you get from out there is temporary. Is it terrible? No. Is it good? It's okay. But you cannot hang on it. That's why you can't hang on anybody. You can only hang on developing your faith. Why? Because your faith will produce what you need and more. So you stop being the one helped, you become the helper. Because your cup starts overflowing. You understand? So your help is from within. So I will say then, success is in hearing what God is saying to you. That's within. It's the spirit within you that hears God. That's where your success lies. So once you hear God on a matter, then you rest your case and you engage in thanksgiving. Because you've already heard, you believe him, you trust him confidently, so you rest your case, but you continue thanksgiving until you see the outcome. But of course, you remain alert on hearing, okay? You remain alert in case there is additional instruction that God wants to give you. Remain alert. Because you heard once does not mean you got the full picture. You can hear, and it's a journey. So you stay. So that's why developing a close relationship in the presence of the Lord is so helpful, because he will take you from point A, he will bring you to point B. At point B, you're still listening and you're still willing to be obedient. So you will hear from this point, how do we progress to point C? He might say through this way. He might say through this way. So if you had from point A and you came to point B and now you relaxed, you're waiting, then how will you know how to progress to point C? You understand? So this developing of tarrying in the presence of the Lord is not a one-off thing. It's a continuous process where we grow. It's Colossians 2, somewhere down there, maybe verse 7 or so, that talks about, let the roots of your faith go deep. Isn't it? Let the roots of your faith go deep. You can go to Colossians 2. Yeah, there you have. Thank you. Oh, you are wonderful. I'll tell you what your pastor tells you. If I had a chocolate, you would get one. You're reading my spirit. Wonderful. Yeah, it's 2:7. It says, your spiritual roots go deeply into his life as you are what? Continually infused. Pastor tells us, do words mean anything to you? Do words mean anything? Infused. Can you imagine? You're continually infused with strength and courage in every way. For you are established in the faith you have, absorbed and enriched by your devotion to him. So because he told you from point A how to get to point B, don't reach here and say, nimefika. No. At point B, there is deeper devotion. What does it do? At this point, you are at this low level. But because this tree needs to climb up and to grow up, you know what it will need? Deeper roots of devotion. So as you're devoting yourself in time of prayer and the word, what are you doing? You're absorbing the presence of the Lord. So while at point A, you probably took so long to hear the instruction, at point B, because you have developed his presence, it's so easy to hear. At point C, because your root has gone so deeper, you can remember that instruction. Then you can remember he did what he told you. And you can see the outcome of where he took you. At this point C, you are actually looking forward. You are expectant for another instruction. Why? Because you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. So what are you becoming? You're rising up. You're rising up. Your life is growing deeper. Your spiritual life is being built up like an edifice. Okay? So that's why I say that we remain alert, and we promptly obey what we hear. Let's go back to Isaiah 40. Oh no, time, how did time go? All right, Isaiah 43. I was thinking we are starting to pray at 7. Let me finish this. The Isaiah 40, verse 31b. We had not finished. Yeah, okay. So this is what the other part says. They shall mount up with, dwelled on the renewal of the strength. Oh, let's go back to the Amplified Classic, please. You know, I'm a woman of words, so I like words. Yes, I like many words because I live alone. The Bible is where I speak. You see, if you live with somebody, they talk, you talk, they talk. Yeah, I talk with the Bible. So I like many words in the Bible. You understand? So this is what, forgive me, this is what part B say. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. This is what I got from that scripture. That they shall lift up their wings and mount close to God. Can you visualize what that means? You don't get close to God attending every birthday party, every wedding, every political party, you don't get to go close to God that way. Remember our pastor encouraging us that your growth will require some inconveniences. That's how you get close to God. You dedicate time to spend in his presence. You prepare your heart on Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening. Prepare your heart because you know, tomorrow I want to hear a word from the prophet. So don't just walk in looking smart. Walk in with your heart smart, okay? Sorry if I'm too harsh on you, but walk in with your heart smart. This is the reality. If your heart is smart, your body and your clothes will look smart. Whether they are second hand or first hand, they will look smart. Why? Because the inside is smart. You understand? So you come close to God. So then I will say that you need to step out of your human shortfalls if you have to come close to God. We are eliminating hindrances that hinder us from coming close to God. Step out of your human shortfalls. What's that? Your past, your presumed limitations, your presumed strengths. You know, we have all these. Some people think I'm not able. Some people think I'm too able. Oh, they didn't use me and I'm too able. The others, oh no, I cannot do anything. So they are all presumptions. You understand? If God appoints you for a cause and a call, he will equip you. Because if he doesn't, what you're doing is not of God. We are all dependent on the Holy Spirit of God. Let me confess my sins. When I started, pastor would tell me, I want you to take Wednesday prayer meeting. I'm telling you, for 2 days I will not sleep. I'm thinking, who will I see? Where will I start? How can... And he will say, it's just the Bible, Ruth. You will just read. And honestly, I used to, please let him not tell me. until God gave me a revelation. Ruth, if I don't help you, you are incapable. You don't have what it takes without you. So I'll say, okay, pastor needs support. I'm willing. God, just help me. And he does it. And I hope you carry something. But me, I'm obedient. If you don't carry, don't blame me. Yeah, honestly, me, I'm just obedient to the call. If you don't carry, don't say, I'm not going to ask the prayer. It's Ruth. It's up to you. Okay, it's not up to me. Me, I'm just doing what pastor asked me to do, and I'm obedient to the call of God. So remove your presumed limitations, because they hinder you from rising high. Remember, it says, they shall lift their wings. Who will lift their wings? They. It's not God. God is not lifting nobody. He aids you as he sees your effort, okay? So they shall lift up their wings. So why do we say this? Because God is great, is the greater one. It's not us. It's God who is the greater one. That's why we worship him. We don't worship ourselves. This is not about us. It's about God. That's why rehearsing your difficult life is not faith. Please stop it. Rehearsing where you came from, with a warrior and I cannot, it won't help. No, it will hinder you from moving forward. It's not about what you went through. It's about what God can. And is there anything too difficult with God? So let not your past, don't rehearse your past. Faith does not rehearse the past. Faith is looking at the possibilities of God. That's why the scripture says, in him we live and move and have our being. Because everybody has a serious past. I'm telling you, if we took a testimony day, God have mercy. We will think, even you, we know that. So me and pastor who confesses our sins here, if we gave you the opportunity, we will think, oh, we are angels. We were. No, I'm joking, but you understand what I mean. So we stop rehearsing our past. So we recognize we are a new creation. Recognize your new creation status. That's how you mount up. If you keep thinking, I can't, you will not mount up. If you keep thinking I'm wanting, you will not mount up. So how do you mount up? Recognize your new creation status. What is your new creation status? You rule and reign with Christ. It's not the enemy reigning. It's not your issues that are reigning. It's you who is in control. So we can tell your position by your temperament. Okay? Yeah, the people who rule and reign in Christ, they are very easy to work with because they have, okay, it's God, only God. It's just about God, and that's it. Yeah, so your temperaments, your behavior, your responses, your actions is the fruit of what you think about yourself. If you know that you are a new creation, I'm telling you all those issues will fade before your eyes, because you're like, if Christ has already completed his work in me, I've been redeemed, why am I acting funny? Right? Don't bother with people, just move on with God, love people, move on with God, love people, do what you're called to do, you understand? Yeah, so we leave all that baggage. Why? Because we want to rise up high. So why, how do we rise up high? We tap from the Zoe life of God. In order to rise up high close to God. In the divine flow of the Spirit, you can't get worn out by the enemy. You can't. You can't. If you're allowing the Zoe life of God to be in you, the enemy will try, because he never rests. He will try, but he will not wear you out. You will still be the winner. After many battles, because there will be many, okay? He can't. Why can he not overcome you? Because remember, you're infused with the divine power to win. That infusion that we saw in Colossians 2:7 is to equip you to win the battles of life. In whichever format they come, in however they come, from whoever they come, you are infused with the power to win every battle that comes your way. So you can keep pace with God's plan. You don't grow weary. That's what it says. If you are infused with the Zoe life of God, you will mount up, and whatever comes your way, it will not weigh you down. It says, they shall walk and not faint. They will never become tired of the life of the Spirit. That's why we can live eternal. You think heaven, we are going, entering heaven frail? Shh. People say, we made it. No, that's not how we are entering heaven. We are marching there. We are going joyful. We are entering dancing. I always imagine a conga line there. Mm-hmm. With when they're leading the music. We are entering there in style, people. We are entering heaven in style. There is no way we will be defeated. Entering heaven. Go read your Bible again, what's happening in heaven. It's a glorious life there. It's a glorious place. Frailty cannot go there. That's where we got to get rid of every form of faint and tiredness and weariness, and get the Zoe life of God and move on with force. So when you sleep out of this world, when you wake up there, oh my goodness, I always visualize this. I don't know how I visualize it, but I'm thinking, I can dance all the moves in heaven. Without anybody thinking, this old woman, what does she think she's doing? Heaven, everybody is young. Hallelujah. I can't wait to get there. We are all young. Okay. So we can keep pace with God's plan, okay? So we mount up. What is to mount up? How do we mount up? We pay attention. Mount up. To mount up is to pay attention, is to focus, is to have the right mindset. Mount up, pay attention, focus, have the right mindset. Purpose to perceive faith. Don't just walk around carelessly. Purpose to perceive faith. Remember Deacon Yvonne on Sunday exhorting us for tithes and offering, and the many good words she spoke about. And she said that heavenly perspective is a vantage point. It's a vantage viewpoint. Uh-huh. It's a position where nobody, no tribe, no community, no government, no earthly king, nothing can move you out of that. It's a position of rulership. So we rule while we are on earth. We are ruling and reigning. That's what Colossians 3:2 says. In the Passion Translation, it says, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm, and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. You understand? So what are we saying? Choose to obey the word. Choose to hear the word and to obey the word. And your life will be very joyful. That's what Hebrews 4 talks about. Enter the rest of God. Don't bother with all these other things. Nothing will help you here. You get a billion shillings, it won't help you without the word. You got enough food to eat today and you don't know about tomorrow. You're in a good place with the word. Mm-hmm. Did he not feed Elijah by ravens? Ravens eat food, meat. Do you know that? Oh, ravens eat meat. But when God commands, ravens bring meat to man. There's nothing God cannot do. And it's raining and you will be okay to go home with the rain. Because you are people of faith. Stand up, we pray. We'll just pray. I'll do a prayer so that we don't keep you for too long. And just take those points, those scriptures. Go pray with them. Go pray with those scriptures.
Paul, meditate on what is to mount up. Meditate on what does it mean to expect and look for and hope for the promises of God. It is that Zoe life is available. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And tonight, Father, you have opened up revelation of your word to us at different levels of understanding. But the Bible says that as we pray in tongues, we receive more revelation and it's unfolded because your word is active and living. It's a double-edged sword. It pierces the bones and the marrows, and it goes into the intents of the heart, oh God. As a body tonight, we are asking for your word, oh Lord our God, to open up our understanding, that our ears may hear you with clarity, that our hearts may know your word with accuracy, that our eyes will see the things that you are unfolding before us, oh God, so clearly that we will not be distracted by all these other things that are in this natural realm. Thank you for over the weeks you've been encouraging us to have a heavenly perspective. So tonight, in the name of Jesus, we seek for it, we yearn for it, we ask for it, we desire it, oh Lord God. So we can say, as David said, that as the deer panted for the water, so our hearts thirst for you. And we can find you in your word. We can find you in the place of waiting for you. We can find you in times of worship. We will find you in times of relating and talking about your word. We will find you as we confess your word one to another. We will even find you as we confess your word to ourselves, oh Lord our God, because your word is not limited. It goes beyond what the natural realm can see. It transforms situations. It unearths strategies of the kingdom of darkness, and it allows us to see what weapons of warfare to apply. And there is no greater weapon of warfare than the word of God. So tonight, our Father, we take your word literally as your spirit will unfold it to us. And we seek to be listeners of your voice. May your voice become so clear to each one of us. And may our hearts become so willing to obey your word that we may apprehend the promises that are so accessible to us. And we want to thank you tonight for your grace and for your blessing over that word, that you will just reveal it to us as we regurgitate it in praying in tongues, even in our prayer closets as we get home. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' wonderful name.